Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
As Will Howard sets up at a shotgun behind center Carson Hinsman, Howard's going to go on top again. He looks and floats that deep down the left side for Emeka Ibuka toward the goal line, and he's got it for a touchdown, Emeka Ibuka. The Buckeyes, it's Jeremiah Smith, who ran underneath of that, and that is a touchdown pass from Will Howard to get the Buckeyes on the scoreboard 37 yards through the air, and Ohio State strikes first, leading 6-0.
It'd be 7-0, and the final score would be 42-17. That was Ohio State's win over Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and if you're asking me who had the worst loss of the four bad ones in the first round of the college football playoff, Perloff, to me, it's Tennessee. You know, you had Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss head coach, is clowning everybody on social media when SMU is getting blown out and Indiana is getting blown out, saying, ha ha, look at the committee. They picked the wrong teams. This is not competitive. And then one of your SEC guys got up there. And what happened? Totally embarrassed at the horseshoe. It wasn't about the committee picking the wrong teams. It was about teams getting beat. And Tennessee suffered the worst loss of the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's funny, though, about Tennessee. Like, you're absolutely logically right, but it didn't feel like Tennessee was, like, this SEC powerhouse. Their schedule just happened to fall the right way, and they came out of that group of Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina, and Tennessee. I understand. And also, Nico's young. I didn't feel like this was a meaningful loss in the big picture to me. And it was in Ohio. It was on the road, so I'm not so worried about that game. I think for me, the real game changer, the loss that people are going to point to is Indiana. I think there was a column by Matt Hayes, who's now at USA Today, longtime college football writer, saying that putting Indiana in is the worst mistake any committee has ever made. And he listed like all the other bad ones. He said this is the game changer. People are going to look at Indiana because Indiana didn't look like they belonged on the field in any possible way. Tennessee was fighting in that game. Indiana got some late points, but they couldn't move the ball or stop the run or do anything. Notre Dame just kind of average on offense. That's the only reason it wasn't like 50-0.
Oh, yeah. I know. Indiana got smoked. I mean, the final score, not indicative, right? I mean, that was a total blowout. You're right. They just scored late. But to me, it's Indiana. Isn't that what everybody wants?
No,
more teams from the major power conferences. Weren't we told that the SEC and the Big Ten are the two best top to bottom conferences in college? So couldn't you defend, even though Indiana only played the bottom feeders and even though they lost to Ohio State in a game that, quite frankly, that final score looked a lot better, in my opinion, than what it felt like when Indiana was losing at the horseshoe that day back in November. But if you want more teams or if you want the committee to weigh strength of schedule, who else was going to get in the Big Ten?
Well, the Big Ten was awful this year. I mean, Purdue, et cetera, like all these teams
stink. Well, they've got two teams left in Oregon and Ohio State.
Yeah, no, the top is awesome, but first of all, these gigantic conferences are now obviously causing a lot of competitive imbalances. I don't know. They just screwed it up. They really should have put one of those SEC teams in. They should have said, you know what, Indiana, great season. You're our Florida State this year. You're out. Let's put in Alabama. Because you say Alabama's not good, but they lost a lot of like road SEC games in a neutral field. I feel like if you have Jalen Milroe running for 20 times a game, they could possibly beat anybody too. I would have rather seen that. And I think that's what's going to happen in the future.
Right. But see, we knew this when Indiana lost to Ohio State, but they didn't drop significantly. You knew that they were going to be sitting pretty. And, you know, listen, we could make the same case, like who did Penn State beat? You know, all this stuff. The bottom line is the Big 12. I think people want the Big 12 and the SEC to have a little bit more of a like grace or what have you. And
yeah, but you got to beat somebody in those conferences. Like Alabama just beat Georgia and then destroyed LSU. I know LSU is not. I know they lost to Oklahoma. I'm well aware of this, but
yeah.
I think the grind, and
they also lost to Vandy.
The grind of going, you know, we're coming off
the
Georgia game, and the grind of going on the road in SEC is really hard.
Lost to Vandy. No one ever calls Vandy the grind of going on the road in the SEC. That even Nick Saban was just flabbergasted that they could possibly lose that game.
It's
a terrible loss.
I'm stealing that from the ESPN team. It was just like, people don't understand what it's like to be in the grind of an SEC season. I totally agree. I think Alabama is a really good team, but I think that they probably would have been very competitive in this 12-team playoff. They definitely would have beaten Indiana.
Well, Indiana, but I don't. Would they have beaten Notre Dame?
Maybe. Who has Notre Dame played? How do we even know if Notre Dame's any good?
Well, again, but you couldn't sit up there and be banging the table for Alabama when they lost to Vandy and lost to Tennessee and got boat raced basically by Oklahoma. I couldn't say it with a straight face, oh my gosh, let's move heaven and earth for this Alabama team.
But do you think, I mean, if you played on a neutral field, who's favored, Notre Dame or Alabama?
Yeah, but see, that's not the way that this was set up. Right. And the fact is that Alabama, we watched also get blown out. So nobody is immune to it. And we watched Alabama get blown out at times when it was a 4-team playoff. Like, that's my whole thing. We always have blowouts. These felt some ways bigger, but it's not really, because we see blowouts happen all the time.
Right. But this is a structural flaw that led to these blowouts.
I don't think so.
It's the big conferences, and it's the fact that the committee ignored strength of schedule. Just didn't even factor it at all.
Okay, but then, so if you're just going to go, you want them to just go on strength of schedule. And
I'm not saying just go, but it has to be at least factored in the slightest bit.
See, I think another thing where the committee, and I don't know how you reconcile this, because let's just call it what it is, guys, and we're talking about the college football playoff games that were all blowouts in the first round. Whether we like it or not, there is a value to college football and to these conferences to keep the conference championships something, to make it feel meaningful, right? Because there's a lot of money on the line, the TV networks, all of that stuff. So they want to keep the conference championship games meaningful. But look at what happened with SMU. You go into that ACC championship game and it's, listen, if they lose, there's nothing that can nothing can change. You're not going to get penalized for making your conference championship. But I ask you, should SMU have gotten in? Like, you're worried about Indiana. I don't know if the ACC runner-up should have gotten in on this, but I get what the committee's saying. You shouldn't be penalized just because you made your conference championship. That's like a positive thing that you made it to the championship.
Right. SMU, I feel that was, of the four losses, that was the most weathery of the weather losses.
Oh, my gosh.
They were trying to psych themselves up to play in the cold, but that was not happening.
Jennings, if he does get drafted, I don't know if the Green Bay Packers are in his future. I mean, or any team that plays outside. At some point, I actually felt bad for the guy. I'm like, you can't pull him because your backup quarterback hit the portal. So you've got your SOL.
He was sitting there on the sidelines, though.
Oh, was he there?
Yeah, Stone was there. He was a portal player on the sidelines. I think that's the only reason why they didn't put him in.
I mean, some of those turnovers were a bit fluky, to be honest.
There were so many.
He couldn't grip the ball. It was a 0 degree.
Oh, I thought a lot of those picks, he just didn't know what he was doing and just throwing the ball to the other team. I didn't take that he couldn't hold the ball. I took it as he was.
Oh, really? Like, you think on a dry field, like, Kevin Jennings wouldn't have had a better game?
I think he would play better, but I think those picks would have happened.
By the way, I would not ignore him for Heisman next year.
Well, he's going to have a little bit of work to do.
Don't watch the Penn State tape.
To get that bad taste out of people's mouth.
They're not going to a frigid Penn State next year at all.
That's true.
I think that team is got good things ahead.
Listen, coach is coming back. Oh, yeah. They're locked and loaded. They have tons of money.
Defense played really well yesterday, on Saturday, too. It's just they gave away basically 21 points.
Can you put a poll up, EJ, worst loss of the weekend? So Clemson, Tennessee, Indiana, and SMU. And then we will turn the page on who looked most dangerous. But I say Tennessee. Perloff thinks Indiana.
Also, I think when the automatic bids are coming, so it'll be, the question is, how are they going to divide it? So it'll be 3 SEC, 3 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12. I wonder, now I think the way
and
this
Notre
played
Dame,
out.
Probably.
Well, I don't think Notre Dame will get an automatic.
Not automatic, but the way that it sets up.
But the question is, will SEC look at this and really clamor and say, we want 4? And the other thing, too, is there's a rumor or a report that they're going to get rid of the committee altogether and just go to automatic bids and like a different system altogether. Because the committee obviously has, they have no idea. Like they're not really a thing. Are they, in the sense that like they're not providing any analysis that helps pick the best 12 teams, are they?
I don't know. I was told there's all these former coaches who are on the committee. It's not just about the, you know, conference. It's not just about the suits. There are football people who are on this committee also.
They are meaningless. They have no role whatsoever.
So you just want to go back to the BCS, let the computers decide.
I'm very curious what's going to happen. So the automatic bids will sort of determine everything. I guess you'll have two or three choices, but I think that's going to be better because then you can't have, like, you can't have a Florida State being left out. You can't have Indiana sort of getting in there. Like, Indiana will be there, and no one can argue with it because it's the automatic bid, like the top four teams get in. So there you go. I think it's going to be better in that system because there's not going to be as – I understand debate's good for college football, but if you had that system right now, then you would probably have the right teams, and nobody could complain because it's like, okay, this is the way the schedule laid out. I do worry – my big concern is how big – the Big Ten is, like, it can't be so top-heavy. Like, this is going to be an issue moving forward because, like, how crappy is the Penn State and Indiana schedule?
855-212-4227. Worst loss of the weekend. EJ, are you with me or are you with Perloff? I said Tennessee. He said Indiana.
No, Perloff's, I think Perloff's right on this. I got Indiana. I mean, it's just the optics, right? It's you know, you're 11-1. You got a coach who runs his mouth off for the game. He's cursing on College Game Day about how they beat the crap out of, ranked opponents. They go into South Bend against a Notre Dame team that is good, but we had a lot of questions about them because they have a pretty weak schedule. So this is basically weak schedule versus weak schedule. Who's real? And one of these teams looked like they belonged, the other team didn't. You know, their quarterback looked like a guy they found from Ohio U. Oh, wait, that's right. He was at Ohio U. And they looked like a team
Mac
that...
player of the year.
Yeah, they looked like a team that was, okay, if this team was playing in, you know, some whatever bowl game, they would have a good season, but they shouldn't have looked like that if you're a team that's claiming you're one of the top 12 teams.
So I was thinking about this with Cignetti, right? So Kurt Cignetti is the outspoken coach from Indiana who's at James Madison. He said, if you don't know me, Google me, was a famous line that he had. And it's been a lot of fun. I couldn't help but think watching this, I'm like, see, this is the thing when you're a big talker and then you get it handed to you in your two biggest games of the year. Does it do more damage to the program? Like, have you undid a lot of the goodwill that you built up because you kind of talk like a bully and then the bully gets punched? Now, Indiana is not a bully when it comes to football. This is a great story. It's a once in every 50 years story for Indiana, but can he keep this rolling?
That's a great point. I think his big talk boomeranged, and you saw him on the sideline just looking clueless, like having no answers. I will not take this Curtis Rourke's going to be a backup in the NFL, like his brother. Like, he's fine. There's nothing but he hurt his thumb.
That was one of the worst games I've seen from a quarterback until Kevin Jennings played.
Wait, is that a compliment? He will be a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Curtis Rourke, though, like, I mean, he's hurt. He's been hurt all year. Like, not all year, since, like, whatever that game, when he hurt his thumb. He's a good quarterback. Like, he'll definitely... His brother Nathan was awesome too. I'm a big Rourke family fan. Mm. They're in the Bailey Zappi category.
Where's Bailey Zappi?
He
that
actually
guy's on Bill Carton.
Yeah, he was promoted to the number two somewhere. Yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw
Indianapolis
him
or somewhere.
Yeah, I forgot where he was. I just saw him too. I know. Was he on the Saturday games? Is he playing for the Texans or something? I feel like I saw him in a very prominent
trivia
game.
Trivia question.
Yeah.
Where does Bailey Zappi play?
Well, it was a big deal. I saw the story that he got promoted to the backup. Whatever team he's on, maybe Indianapolis, I want to say.
All right, meanwhile.
Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Lucky him.
I think, honestly, the thing about Indiana, too, when Rourke goes away, I'm not sure they're going to be quite as good.
Well, listen, that's what the portal's for, right? This is why you think that you always have a shot if you're going to be rating, you know, a lower conference and getting a guy with a lot of experience. But I was thinking about that with Cignetti. I'm like, oh, man, when you're a big talker and you get beat like that, it just always feels like doubly bad. Like, this is why people love it when Dion gets beat or Lane Kiffin gets beat. You know, when you have these outspoken guys and then they get a taste of their own medicine, it always feels, you know, like...
It took a little bit of that, like, feel-good story from them for me. Like, I'm, you know, right before the game, you know, I'm seeing the clips of him cursing on Kyle's game day. I'm like, come on, guy. Like,
can we find that, Manny, by the way?
Yeah, like, you know, like, it, you're the feel-good story. You're the underdog.
Like, people want to root for you, especially against Notre Dame.
Right, and then, like, you're trying to explain why your team is good, and you're going back to, well, in James Madison, we beat Coastal Carolina 2 years ago, so we beat the bleep out of ranked teams. I'm like, that just sounds so ridiculous. Like, you're already in. Like, we've already had to, like, when you're doing the committee and you're trying to convince people, like, maybe I can understand that a little bit, that bravado, whatever. When you get to an actual game day, you're in South Bend, I see Touchdown Jesus right behind you, and this is how you're talking, and then you get beat by 13, but it should have been 40. It's like, come on, guy. It was hard from the roof. It was hard roof for Indiana that day for me.
And by the way, your team that you said was the worst loss, Tennessee. The thing about Tennessee is they're going to be a top three team next year coming in. Like, they're fired up. Indiana is not going to. Yeah. So the future of Tennessee feels very, very bright, where Indiana feels like, man, we have to be undefeated. They're never letting us back in this thing.
Right. I mean, listen, of course, when it comes to football, Tennessee is going to be more on the map than Indiana. But the reason why I think Tennessee had the worst loss is because of what you and people like you are saying, which is this is should basically be the SEC Invitational.
But that Tennessee
and
was
Tennessee
never
went and got creamed.
They were never the class of the SEC. I mean,
well, they beat Alabama.
They beat Alabama. And they were good this year, but I feel like they're going to be like really good next year because you saw it. Like he looks really good. I'd be excited. Tennessee wasn't like it's not like Alabama either. They don't have that kind of pressure, like championship or bust. Generally, it didn't feel like that was a huge deal. Honestly, Ole Miss was more championship or bust this year because they had all those older players. Like, they're the ones, like, they would have been fun to see in this bracket.
Right, but you can't lose at home to Kentucky and then pretend it didn't matter.
Yeah, Kentucky, again, SEC, like, these bottom SEC teams will get up for games and have good coaches and big-time players. I think the system is messed up right now.
855-212-4227. So we will talk about who looks most dangerous coming out of the first round of the playoff in just a moment. But if you want to vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X, who had the worst loss of the weekend? Clemson, Tennessee, Indiana, SMU.
Took Clemson out of the poll. Sorry.
What's that?
Clemson's not in the poll.
Why not?
Oh, I thought, I don't know why when I heard you, I thought you said those three teams.
No, let's do all four. Because Clemson was an interesting one because I thought Cade Klubnik, their quarterback, actually played really well. They got it to a one-score game. Their defense just could not stop the run to save their lives. Texas ran all over them.
So I think that's an interesting is what's the latest? Is Klubnik coming back? Is he going pro? I have no idea where that franchise goes because, again, you see, like, they're not wildly talented Clemson like a few years ago. They were definitely pushed around in that game.
I know, but they almost were at least one of the most exciting games of the weekend because at least late in the game, it was a one-score game.
Oh, come on.
I know, but listen, we didn't have much to choose from. How about this? I read this in The Athletic if you want to know about the first-round matchups. So all four first-round matchups, of course, decided by double digits. Over 120 combined second-half minutes, and the score was within one touchdown for all of 55 seconds. Like, this is, yeah.
By the way, there's some
rough.
There are a couple big spreads in the next round, too.
We'll get to that.
So we could have a couple more blowouts.
Hold on to that. We'll get that information to you in just a moment. But you're welcome to weigh in on this. Did the committee get it wrong, or were these just blowouts? 855-212-4227.
There's a lot of skeptics. There's a lot of doubters. I get it, right? Haven't beat a top 25 team. Nebraska's 25th, and Coach Poland beat their 56-7, you know, and I've never beat a top 25 team. Well, you know, Coastal Carolina back when we were little James Madison, moving up to the Sun Belt, they were 22nd end of the year. We beat them 47-7.
Okay.
So we don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit out of them.
Okay. Google him.
Tight edit there by Manny. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Was he auditioning for game day? That was Kurt Cignetti. On the set of game day before they lost to Notre Dame, was he like auditioning to sit next to Pat McAfee at some point?
I think he was auditioning for a spot on the Pat McAfee show.
He might have gotten
I got good news and bad news for Indiana football's future. Cignetti next year, they have a brutal first three games. Old Dominion.
Throw out the record books.
The Monarchs.
Followed by Kennesaw State. Didn't we talk about a Kennesaw State game?
The Owls.
And then Indiana State. Manny.
The Sycamores.
There you go. So I think they should start out 3-0 unless they're playing sort of some of the 1980s NBA players who came out of Old Dominion in Indiana State. But then at Oregon, at Iowa, and at Penn State next year. So I have a feeling we're not going to see Kurt Cignetti in the playoff again, because that is a tough assignment.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole thing about you talk really big, and I think a lot of people loved it, right? And we loved it. We got wrapped up in it, and he's got
he's awesome.
The Marlboro packs, remember the what was the t-shirt they had about Kurt Cignetti?
Right. The smoking thing, yeah.
And the cigs.
Yeah, the cigs, and it was fun, and it's fun when a guy comes in and they are David, but they're not acting like it, right? They act like, hey, we deserve to be here, tons of confidence. But then you go into Notre Dame, and basically until some late touchdowns that made this look a lot better than it was, you got your doors blown off. So does the talking now seem a little silly? Like, this used to happen with coaches. This happens with coaches, not just him. You know, we mentioned, like, when Dion gets beat, when Lane Kiffin gets beat. You want to go to the NFL when Rex Ryan used to get beat. After you talk all this smack, and, you know, there's some coaches that really put themselves out there and others that stay a little bit more humble.
Yeah, you also came away from that game. Maybe they ran into the wrong defense. There seemed like a lot of NFL players on that Notre Dame defense. Like, I know, Marcus Freeman's recruiting. Oh, okay, that's why you've been recruiting like this. Those guys were rough on Indiana. I was like, come on, be nice. It's Indiana football.
No, 855-212-4227. That's also an in-state. I don't think it was a rivalry, but the in-state battle.
I don't know if that matters. That's like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are in-state, and that's not a thing.
Well, I don't know.
They're 8 hours apart.
I don't know how many guys are thinking about Indiana and Notre Dame as a possibility to go one place or another. How many recruiting battles are you trying to win in that state?
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame has plenty of real rivals to deal with. And Indiana, obviously, has Kentucky basketball. I don't even know. Who's Indiana's football rival? Like Maryland?
I don't think they needed one up until this year.
Yeah.
Sounds like Kurt Cignetti versus the world is the way that this rivalry is
Purdue, going. I think they Indiana-Purdue throw out the record.
Yeah.
Do they have any games where they give away like an oaken barrel or anything? I don't even think Indiana
game's got to be a trophy game.
I don't know.
Listen, it's either a barrel or a hatchet. They don't give out anything else. It's some kind
that's
of
all they have.
Sword or...
It is the old oaken bucket.
Oh, okay.
That is the trophy you get for winning the Indiana-Purdue game.
Gotta love the Midwest for that stuff. It's like, would you like an axe or a barrel? Axe. All right, barrel. Whatever. I'll take whatever you got. 855-212-4227. You can vote on our poll. Who had the most disappointing loss of the opening round of the playoff? Clemson, Tennessee, Indiana, SMU. On the flip side, Perloff, the team that looks best to you right now. I mean...
Well, based on what we saw or just generally, because obviously some good teams were on buys, but coming out of that bracket, oh my God, Ohio State finally woke up and threw the ball to Jeremiah Smith. And if they keep doing that, but their coaching staff's so inconsistent that I don't know what's going to happen in the next game.
I can't even imagine what it would have been like if Ohio State did not put up that type of offensive performance. Like, even if you won, but they end up smoking Tennessee, I don't think Chip Kelly would be allowed back in the state.
Well, do you think there are some fans are saying, like, you know, why didn't you do that against our arch rival in the last game? I would be frustrated in part because they decided to run the ball into the line on almost every play the entire game. All you had to do, you have the best wide receiver in the country, and he's 18 years old. Like, throw it to him every time and then bring in Egbuka, and you're not even using your other five-star receivers. You have so much talent on that team. And I thought, remember we were kind of dissing Will Howard last week or 2 weeks ago? Man, he looked pretty darn good on Saturday night.
Let's hear from Ryan Day, head coach of Ohio State. Said he was proud of how the team responded after that loss to Michigan.
You know, I told him in the locker room that, you know, in life, you know, you're going to be defined by the way you handle adversity in life. You know, as a person, as a man, as a dad. And so, you know, to see the way that they responded in this game, you can tell from the jump that they had a look in their eye that they were going to go win this game. And I thought they played that way. So a lot of football ahead of us. Great win. But we're going to enjoy this for 24 hours, then it's on to Oregon.
Okay. Day also admitting that the team did take a much more aggressive approach in the game plan.
We called this game more aggressively. There's no question about that. But also, I think we did some things in this game that maximize what we have in terms of our strengths and minimize our deficiencies. Not that everything was perfect in this game. It wasn't.
There you go. Pearl, you were begging for it. You asked for it. They delivered.
Yeah, they look great. It's interesting. I'm not surprised they're favored against Oregon. To me, like, the big thing in this matchup is it's hard to beat a team twice. I know that's not, like, scientific. If Ohio State had beaten Oregon in the first game, I honestly would have picked Oregon. Like, I think that's a real thing. It's really hard when you're two completely equal teams to come out on top. So I kind of feel bad, as you've been saying, Oregon, this is not the road you want, having to face Ohio State, who is self-realized and understood. They have great receivers. The other thing, too, the weather is going to be nicer. I think the Ohio State, a lot of games were determined by the coldness. I was wrong. Andrew Bogus is sitting here. When I said the cold would not matter, it did. But there was no ridiculous snow. But Oregon, Ohio State, this is going to be like, Ohio State better bring this aggressive offense or they really don't have a chance.
So it's not the smallest spread of the next round of games. That would be Notre Dame and Georgia, which is a 1.5-point favorite. Yeah. Oregon is a 2.5-point underdog to Ohio State. And then the other two games, you get some bigger point spread. So Texas right now, a 14-point favorite over Arizona State, and Penn State, an 11-point favorite over Boise.
That's going to be really interesting. Both those big spreads because of the star running backs on both teams. Like, if the game management gets out of control and Arizona State can run it down Texas's throat just like Texas did in the first round, I see that as a possible upset because Arizona State is, or we could come out saying Arizona State shouldn't have been in this thing. And then Boise State, too. What if Ashton Gentry does something that SMU did not do, move the ball consistently? That's going to be fun. I was not excited. I knew the first round was going to be meh. I am very excited for this second round.
Did you know it? I thought we were both equally excited on Friday. Was that just me?
I remember when we did our picks, I was like, I've been talking about SMU all week, but I think Penn State probably wins in a blowout. I mean, which game? We were excited for Tennessee, Ohio State, but I don't think we were all in on all the other games.
I mean, I took Clemson to the points. I thought this could have been the upset and got closer than some of the other games, but not close enough.
I was very surprised that Texas showed up like that. I did not know Texas could run the ball like that. I'll be totally honest.
Big bounce back after losing to Georgia in the SEC championship game. You guys are welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. Worst loss? And who looks good now after watching that first round of action? We get back to the NFL in just a moment. Andrew Bogish is here with all the latest and greatest.
Guys, hello again. These headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance.
I play club floor hockey at Fordham.
Dan Campbell said last week that his Lions, with all their significant injuries, would win however necessary. Yesterday in Chicago, that apparently meant a small stage show.
Jared takes, stumbles coming out of there. Wants to throw, does that. You got a man wide open. Sam LaPorta, touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh my goodness. Jared stumbled coming out from behind center, regained composure, regained his grip on the football, and then threw it down to a wide open Sam LaPorta for a touchdown, 21 yards on the connection.
I think he did that on purpose. I think Jared Goff did that on purpose.
It was very much on purpose. Goff and running back Jahmyr Gibbs pretending to stumble, going for a handoff, tricking the Bears D, leaving LaPorta wide open for that touchdown. Goff on his director, Ben Johnson.
At first, it started on Monday with Ben asking me if he thought I could like actually fumble on purpose and pick it back up. I don't know about that. And that we kind of got off that pretty quickly. And we're like, let's just pretend we're falling or pretend I'm fumbling and I'm holding on to the ball. And I think the part that Gibbs, where he dives, really sells the play.
The Lions cruising to a 34-17 win, setting franchise records with 13 total victories and 7 on the road. But they gain no ground on the Vikings atop the NFC.
First and 10 from the Seattle 39. 3:58 to go. Seattle leads by 4 in the fourth quarter. Sam steps up. Sam throws left. Caught! Jefferson! Touchdown!
Yes!
Sam, the man on the fan, finds the moneymaker, Justin Jefferson. And the Vikings have taken a 26-24 lead.
Paul Allen on Vikings radio. That was the deciding score in Seattle, Minnesota, a 27-24 victory. They've won 8 in a row, and Kevin O'Connell is the first coach in franchise history with multiple 13-win campaigns. The Buccaneers staying on 8 wins on Sunday Night Football in Dallas, losing 26-24 to a Cowboys team that was knocked out of playoff contention earlier in the day. Tampa's four-game win streak officially ending when Rashad White fumbled with 91 seconds left, allowing Dallas to run out the clock. And with the Falcons thumping the Giants in the afternoon, 34-7, Atlanta now controls the NFC South race. As usual, there are injury concerns on a Monday morning. Jalen Hurts suffered a concussion 11 plays into the Eagles' 36-33 loss in Washington. And Josh Allen finished the Bills' 24-21 win over the Patriots with a right elbow issue, which translates into how many treadmill hours, Maggie?
Man, I couldn't do it yesterday. I'm going to be totally honest with the audience. I thought, I got to get on the treadmill. The team is playing horribly. The uniforms are burning the retinas out of my eyeballs. Everything is going horribly. Just get on the treadmill, walk it out. And I couldn't. I was so lazy yesterday. I just had to sit there and watch it.
Did anybody get confused and keep on thinking the red team was the Patriots?
Yes.
Or was that just me? I was very confused by the color scheme. Even after I understood that the Bills were wearing bright red, that was Patriots colors.
Absolutely. I loathe those uniforms. I don't like them at all. I didn't like when they used to do Color Rush and the Bills would wear all red. It didn't make any sense to me. The Bills' colors is blue. They're a blue team.
By the way, once again, a close game and Josh Allen has to sell it on the run. Like, you're playing with fire how much he runs the football.
You think? By the way, he could have ran way more yesterday and actually held it a little bit more conservatively. And he hits his elbow, as Bogus just said, His elbow gets destroyed. He said he couldn't feel his hand for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you said he could have run way more. He stays in the pocket forever. He's just like, I'm not scared of any of you. I'm not. He gets hit. Like, and he's just, because he's bigger than everyone hitting him. Again, this is like Cam Newton. Cam Newton was bigger than everyone was hitting him, but eventually you land the wrong way or some little fluke thing happens.
No kidding.
He ran 6 times for 30 yards yesterday, but it wasn't just that. I mean, how many times did he just stay back there and run around until he found somebody?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he does, though. And usually he finds somebody, though. Yesterday he wasn't finding anybody. That is the difference. Usually if he rolls out to his right and is throwing down the sideline, it's good night. He's going to find a receiver, but that was not. Credit the Patriots. They had a great game plan. They came out, punched them in the mouth. I mean, Bills had a lot of injuries. I'm sorry, can we go back to the Lions thing, though, at some point? Can we talk about this insanity? Yeah. I'm not trying to step on your update, Bogus. Perloff does that enough. I'm just asking. Just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I didn't want to stop it, but is this one of the silliest things we've ever heard?
I'll never see it coming.
One of the most awesome things we've ever heard.
Yeah.
Okay, which side of this are you landing on, Pearl? Silly or stupid? Or awesome?
Totally awesome. Not even like, not just awesome. That was a great play.
I like it better than the Chiefs doing like the carousel thing that one time.
Oh,
I like that one too, but this one was a little more fun.
Think about what they just said though. That sound you played 2 minutes ago was the offensive coordinator asked the quarterback, can you fumble on purpose and then pick the ball up? You are asking to be in the blooper reel of all blooper reels. Like, can you imagine if that was on purpose, then you actually fumbled the ball?
That's why he asked them, Maggie. And then Jared said no, so then they didn't do that.
Can you imagine your quarterback is the one who has to talk the coach out of this asinine, unbelievably stupid idea?
At least they workshopped it on like a Wednesday and didn't do it, you know, 2 plays beforehand.
Well, and it ended up with a touchdown in the way they agreed on.
I wouldn't trust this coach at all. I don't want Ben Johnson now as my head coach. He's going to be farting around and playing around with some silly stuff.
Red. Magsy, come on.
Guys, the Lions. We are not talking about the New England Patriots in year 19 of the dynasty. Get one before you start doing the fake fumble.
They're doing this stuff in the regular season. You know the stuff they're going to have for the playoffs? I cannot wait to see the line. They're going to
freaking lose, EJ.
They're going to have Jared Goff line up at left tackle. It's going to be awesome.
They're going to do a football version of the hidden ball play that happened in, you know, Little Big League. And like a Lions security
the
guard.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
A Lions security guard's going to score a touchdown. It's going to be the coolest thing we've ever seen. Like Dan Campbell's like,
did he report eligible?
Where each team has one eligible security guard for one play. And that's where we pulled it out. And
Dan Campbell's going to walk on. He's going to walk on the field, Dan Campbell, wearing a Jared Goff jersey, and he's going to take a snap from center and throw it 50 yards for a touchdown to Amon-Ra.
But they were not going to do any of this in the postseason, right? That's why they're getting it out of their system now.
I mean, to be fair, your Philadelphia Eagles basically, you know, in the Super Bowl, pulled an all-time trick play.
Now you see Philly special like four times a game. Yeah. Like, but and the fumble rooski, there's versions of fumble rooskies that have been happening forever. And it usually works, by the way. For some reason, teams have trouble with that. I mean, the Lions, if you're looking at the Lions, there's way different issues than the trick plays. I mean, that defense could not get to Caleb Williams the entire game. And, like, eventually, are they the same team with these without Aileen McNeil and Aiden Hutchinson? I just don't know. I want to back the Lions because they're so much fun. Their offense is amazing. Amon-Ra St. Brown's amazing. Jahmyr Gibbs is fantastic. But do they have enough weapons on defense? I'm not so sure.
No, I don't think the Lions have a championship defense. I don't think the Bills have a championship defense. Yeah. I think there are some issues with defenses around the league because of the injuries.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I it would drive me up the wall if my offensive coordinator was pulling this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine the Lions pull this off to perfection against the Bills in the Super Bowl. That'd be comedic.
Yeah, thank you, Manny.
The Lions have a real problem, though. Their 4th-and-3 offense is kind of hot garbage, and they're going for it all the time in that spot. Like, thank God. Thank God we have Dan Campbell as an Eagles fan. Because, like, if they just match up, we would never be able to stop them normally.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You're going to actually think about trying to fumble the ball on purpose. Like, it's not an actual NFL team that you're also playing. You know,
the Bears, Maggie.
It works.
Well, the Bears
too, right?
Almost beat them on Thanksgiving if Matt Eberflus wasn't a dope.
That's true. I just feel like what Maggie said earlier, though, that feels very much like the Dan Campbell, you'd be eating too much filet. You were like, no, I don't want my offensive coordinator calling cool trick plays for touchdowns. I'm a Jets fan. We scored 9 points on Sunday, okay? I've seen some of the worst offensive football ever. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers could fart a football into the end zone for a touchdown, I would take it.
You guys scored 9?
I would take all touchdowns possible.
You guys scored 9? That's nice.
The Jets scored 9 points yesterday, but get this, did not punt in the game. That takes a special kind of bad. Fumbles, turnovers on downs.
I think somebody tweeted it was the first time ever a team had not punted and scored less than 10 points.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a special kind of bad with the Jets, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, Dan Campbell saying we've been eating too much filet and checking reading our own headlines. Meanwhile, it turns out on Wednesday, your offense coordinator thought it'd be fun to fumble on purpose and then pick the ball up. What is going on over there?
What Manny said, a beautifully workshopped touchdown play. And now you have to worry about anything from them. Like now, you're preparing for them, what will they do next? Oh. Will they fart a ball to somebody? It's all on the table.
Please try the fake fumble thing again this season against Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings defense. I would love to see that blow up spectacularly in their faces.
I would not count on that. Their offense executes pretty well. It's
You just said their 4th-down plays were hot garbage.
Yeah, but their trick plays are great. That's not my issue. It's like Dan Campbell, he doesn't seem to. He lost his confidence a little bit too. I don't think he knows when to go on 4th-down. It's definitely in their head. They are in their own head on 4th-down.
855-212-4227, folks. Thank you. Fake fumble play, love it, hate it. Let us know, haters. Yeah, people like me. I don't love it.
Do you think I think the Vikings might get the number one seed. Isn't that insane? And then the Lions would have to play who as the 4 or the 5?
They play the lowest division NFC. Winner, so I guess it'll probably be either Atlanta or Tampa, right? No,
that won't be pretty.
No, 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do here. Bogues, thank you. Let's talk about the injuries that we saw yesterday. Some big deals. We'll do that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Just taking a quick look at the weather for tonight. Green Bay Packers hosting the New Orleans Saints. High of 33, Pearl. Low of 24. Balmy.
Yeah, that's not too bad, considering the way it was this weekend. By the way, was it cold where you were?
Bitter cold.
Oh, it was horrible.
Well, you were skiing in the Poconos.
We were in the mountains
weekend.
Of the Poconos in Pennsylvania. It was 8 degrees, but the wind chill was minus 10. It was not good.
How'd you do on the slopes?
I did not ski this year because my left, you know about my grade 2 MCL sprain?
I hear about nothing less. It's Prize Picks, and your knee is basically the only thing we talk about.
Oh, let's not forget my left ankle, also a grade 2 sprain. But I decided
some load management.
Yeah,
couple
I decided
broken fingers.
Playing basketball is more important than skiing at this point in my life. Amen. So I did not go out there on an icy, rock-filled Pocono mountain. There hasn't been a lot of snow in the Poconos. No surprise. So My kids skied. They did not get frostbite, which I was thrilled about because it was very, very windy and cold.
That sounds like you'd get windburn.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I did not like the cold. I realized, wow, am I going to be one of those people who moves to Florida now? It was miserable this weekend.
Can we move the whole show to Florida? Guys, come on. We could do this.
I'll be far from Madison Square Garden. I can't do that.
Basically, Florida is Madison Square Garden.
You're not wrong.
You know how many New Yorkers are in Florida?
You're not wrong. They're always at the Magic games and the Heat games.
Exactly. You're going to be in five. Let's go to L.A. George is in L.A., wants to talk about his Rams. George, how about your Rams coming into New York, speaking of New York, and pushing Aaron Rodgers around?
That was an interesting game, Maggie Perloff, EJ. Thank God that New York Jets like to go on a fourth down almost every play. I appreciate that because they might have won the game if they hadn't done that.
I thought Rodgers looked pretty good. I was telling EJ, like, that if you get that version of Aaron Rodgers yesterday, I don't know. I think that the Jets, I'm going to buy into the hype again next offseason. His numbers the last four games have been really good.
You know, what I was going to say is Maggie was right about the Rams, her prediction of them winning the division. I think they will win the division. But I was reading somewhere, if they beat Arizona, I don't think it's going to matter what the Seahawks do, even though I something about the strength of schedule. You guys heard them?
I did.
Hold on. I do have the Rams situation here. Vamp for a second.
I did hear the whole NFC West scenario this morning. I heard it on a podcast, and I've already forgotten.
Okay, here you go. This is from The Athletic. The Rams, the Rams are in position to claim another NFC West title, wrap up the number three seed, win their final two home games against the Cardinals and Seahawks, and Los Angeles will clinch it. The Seahawks, though, still alive in the NFC West race. They'll need some help to sneak past the Rams. Even if LA loses its Week 18 game against Seattle and both teams finish with identical records, the Rams would all but assuredly win the tiebreaker due to strength of victory. George, you nailed it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys are quite entertaining, and I really enjoy your show, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thanks. Same to you, George. Appreciate you being part of it.
Do you guys think I think the Rams could make a real run in the playoffs because, I mean, for obvious reasons, I think they arguably have the best quarterback in the NFC. They definitely have, not definitely, but they're right up there with the best wide receiver tandem. Minnesota's right there, too. I think they have all the elements. If this young defense can learn and be fully mature by the time the playoffs start, I think they're another dangerous NFC team.
Listen, yesterday it wasn't even about the quarterback. Yeah. Stafford had 19 pass attempts for 110 yards. That's nothing. It was all about Kyren Williams, 23 carries, 122 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, Nacua and Kupp were pretty pedestrian.
They can
lean on the run game like that. And listen, the Jets stink. I mean, their coaching is awful. And Rodgers might be playing a little bit better, and obviously he and Devontae are now linking up quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Devontae killed the Jets yesterday.
He had seven receptions on 13 targets.
Yeah, he had a drop that was just a killer.
The biggest problem is it looks like you're alienating Garrett Wilson, who actually is the future of the franchise and one of the best wide receivers to ever come through the Jets, and he doesn't get the ball. You have Aaron Rodgers. Like, why aren't you getting the ball to Garrett Wilson? I get Devontae.
I mean, the key to Rodgers' late season turnaround has been throwing to Devontae every time. Yeah, his numbers are creeping up there. It's so funny. Like, he's got 24 touchdowns and 8 picks on a disastrous year. That's pretty good numbers.
No, the final totals are not going to be indicative of what this season was at all.
Well, I disagree because I think that guy could still throw the ball. I mean, he's still got talent.
Yeah, he threw the ball 42 times yesterday, and the team scored 9 points.
Right,
he also had a bad fumble.
Yeah, that play didn't look good. It's hard for him to move, but I think he's a different quarterback at this time of year than he was, say, earlier in the season. He just looks more confident.
This is going to be really interesting what the Jets decide to do this offseason. They're going to keep Rodgers, but as far as coach and GM and all that, you got an owner who's putting the kibosh on trades because of a Madden rating. I mean, they actually fired Robert Saleh, who wasn't very good, to bring in Jeff Ulbrich or elevate Jeff Ulbrich. He might be one of the worst coaches. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett and Jeff Ulbrich both being on the same squad is LOL level. They are both brutal. Coming up, back to the college football playoff.